Well, I got a lot of questions this morning. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Better yet, what do others see when you're in their presence? Whether you're in the mirror, whether you're in other people's presence, do they see Christ? See, to be a Christian, we're supposed to be Christ-like. So, what does it mean to be Christ-like? My scripture is Matthew 20, 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, if you read the Gospel of Mark, it's almost verbatim. It says the same exact thing. Heavenly Father, I come before your throne, Lord, this morning to be a humble servant. Remove the bondage of self that I may be a conduit of your message, Lord, and that people hear you speaking and not my voice. Lord, help them have ears to hear and hearts to receive and an understanding of this message, Lord. And may we apply this message to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, did you know that the Bible uses the word service, servant, serving, or serve over 1,000 times? That's a lot. Do you think maybe, just maybe, God is trying to emphasize that as Christians, we're supposed to be serving? So what is the benefit of serving? I mean, I don't know about you, but I kind of like it when people serve me. But what is the benefit of serving others? Well, first and foremost, it glorifies God. If we are Christians and we're living our lives, we're supposed to be living our lives to glorify God, not ourselves, correct? And you can participate in this conversation. Every time I come here, I say the same thing. I like audience participation. You know, you can say amen, yo, nope, I don't agree with that. You can say yes, okay? There you go. All right. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give what? Glory to your Father who is in heaven. See, I'm not using my words, I'm using God's words. So if you have a problem with what I'm saying, you have a problem with the Bible, you have a problem with the text, take it to the man who wrote it. But I'm going to tell you what God's word says, because I had to do a lot of changing in my life, because everything I did for my glory. When I played football, I wanted to be the MVP. I wanted to be the guy they threw the football to. I wanted to be the man making the most tackles because I wanted the whole world to say, he is great. I'm not as great as God, am I? Okay. And I don't know, but I see nowadays a lot of things I chased when I was younger, like football or acting. Actors come and go and they die. Football players come and all of a sudden somebody's breaking the record and their glory is short-lived. I want to read 2 Corinthians. If you want to open up and look at it, that's fine, because you want to make sure that I'm giving you the right words, okay? Let's see what it says here. 2 Corinthians 9, 12, and 13. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution to them and for all others. What they're saying here is that when you give of yourself, it is a testimony to others. Especially if you give God the glory. We should always, in all everything we do, be giving glory to God, not for our own, but our flesh, bad flesh. Okay. I'm always tempted. You know, everybody's been talking, I'm a contractor, I do work in people's homes. And the temptation for me, and Satan loves to do it, is for someone to brag about my work. And I'm a perfectionist, okay? I'm not gonna do a commercial for me, I'll tell you my company name later, but I'm a perfectionist. So the people working for me, I demand that they're perfect, okay? I look at the work in here, and I tell you what handiwork. But I can also show you every flaw. Why? It's a little thing called ego, and I think I've discussed that before in here, which means edging God out. So when people tell me, oh, wow, oh, my kitchen's never looked so great, or man, I want to scratch my ear, but it's way out here because my head got swollen. But I'm only as good as the people that God blessed me with to do the work. But do I remember that at the time? See, my flesh wants to be worshipped. If anybody can relate into that being said, ready? I can hear a great big amen.
Amen.
And that's right. I tell everybody, I may not be much, but I'm all I think about. Every time I come here, I'm going to tell you that, you know, because let's stop and think about it. Everything we do, does it not have us in the middle of it? Is it, what can we get? How will I look? Okay? What do I want? I use the word I. I don't need to say anymore, do I? How many times did you all use the word I?
Many.
There you go. Someone was listening. You were listening. Okay. All right. The other thing is, and I learned this a long time ago, excuse me for not moving around too much because I like to move around, but I got to keep my eyes on my notes here or I'll forget important points that I wanted to make. And God placed them on my heart, and I was going last night over them. But whenever you get in the center of something, okay, I mean plunge into the middle of something, it's a better chance you fall off the edge. And God will tell you who your idol is, what your idol is, because that's where you put all your time and energy. If I love God with all my heart and all my mind and all my soul that I claim I do, and I come to church and I get my little hour charge on Sunday morning, and then I roll through the week and everything's all about me, and my, and what I want, okay? Am I really getting into the center of God? And see, Satan doesn't want me to get in the center of God. He wants to tempt me, pull me away. He wants me to think I am God. He wants you to think you are God, that you're in control, and we know we can't control anything. Yesterday proved that. You want to make God laugh? Tell him your plan. You know, I have to pray before I come here this morning that I don't get in an accident so that I can get here to share God's message, because I don't know what God's going to have happen in between my house and here. But thank God I'm here this morning, and I'm grateful for that. Thank God you're here. I'm grateful to see you're here, Dan, and your lovely wife, okay? Kent, you know, I rely on you a lot when I come here. But I'm grateful that everybody's here. But I learned a long time ago that if I don't get involved in the middle of something, it's really easy for me to slip back to my old ways. And look how important it was for me when I was younger to play football. I'd go to all the two-a-days. I went to football camp. You know, I went to those games on Friday night whether I was hurt or not. And I got right in the center. Why can't I do that for church? You know, it's funny because when we did the opening prayer and I was praying, this is what I was going to do. Dear Lord, I pray that the people come here today will listen to your word and have patience as I prepare my two-hour sermon. And watch everybody go. How many of y'all been to a professional football game? How many hours did you sit there? How many have been in a professional baseball game? Lucky. How many hours you sit there? How many of y'all went to a seminar? Did any of y'all ever went to an Amway seminar?
Unfortunately.
Okay, there's one. Okay, how about timeshare? And how many hours you sit there? Okay, but we have a problem coming to church on Sunday morning and getting a message that lasts longer than an hour. And yet we say we're Christian. Wow. Man, I'm ashamed of myself sometimes. God is just beating me up every time I write this stuff. I'm like, man, I work 40 to 60 to 80 hours a week to try to promote my business, to try to get money in the bank account, and all that stuff will be burned up. One day I'll drop dead and somebody else will be the benefit of my hard work. Okay? And God knows what they'll do with it. And only He knows. I'll skip on next point. One of the benefits of serving is it worships God. In Romans 12:1, it states to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our spiritual, once again, what's the word? Worship. These aren't my words, these are God's words. So if we really truly want to worship God, we'll give of ourselves, because to imitate Christ means that we serve others. Okay? Where you are serving is where your heart is. Whatever you pursue, that's where your heart is. By serving God, it exposes our God-given spiritual gifts. Did you know that? That God gave every one of us spiritual gifts? Yeah. Okay. I got upset. I went to a men's conference down at Ignite, and Dr. David Jeremiah was there. And he took one of my statements. I want credit for that. You stole that from me. He said, God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. I have been using talents of mine for my own glory for many, many years. God said, no, it's time for you to use them for my glory. What did he do with the disciples? You fish for fish. Today I'm going to teach you how to fish for men.
Amen.
Okay? But at the same time, these gifts that we've had in the beginning, I've told everybody, every ministry I've got involved in, I didn't know how to do it. It was by doing it that I learned how to do it, and I got stronger in it. And then by the time I learned it and was strong in it, it was time for me to pass it to somebody else so they could learn the same lesson that God taught me. And it was time for me to move on to another area. Think about it. In the book of James, chapter 1, it states that every gift is from God. We all have different talents and God's given gifts, but they are all important and can be used for God's kingdom. The key phrase here is can be. See, God gave us free will, free choice. You can choose to use your spiritual gifts and gifts for worldly things, or you can turn around and use them for His glory. And I guarantee you something here. You will be blessed. But your definition, your perception of what being blessed is. Remember, you're talking about perception? Okay. What I believe being blessed today is not what I thought when I was younger. And I hope it's not what you thought when you were younger. See, you think that if I'm blessed, I have a big house, and I'm going to be blessed with a swimming pool, and I'm going to have a nice big truck, which I do, by the way. I'm going to have all these great things. But you know what being blessed today is? I have a roof over my head. It's not a big mansion, but it's a roof. I have clothes on my back. I still have air to breathe. Y'all saw I've been eating. Yeah. Those are my blessings. Man, I'll tell you what. I was talking about my grandson. I've got 7 grandchildren. Hard to believe for a man that's only 25, right? Okay. And I love them with all my heart. My daughter's here with my ex, and she's living there, and she's got Nico and Mila, and he loves basketball, and Mila's just a petite little thing, and oh, she's just gorgeous. And then I've got a granddaughter named Anaya, who is just automatically taken to and can do gymnastics. She's with that Woods that's here in Fauquier County, gymnastics off of Metz Road, and she's won everything. And she got a perfect 10 last year in one of the competitions on a thing, I don't know, the floor or beam or whatever. But the thing is, it's okay to have those passions. It's okay to take your time to do in those things and invest in those things when you turn around and put it for the glory of God. At the same time, that same granddaughter is in my TNT class at church where I serve. And she's studying and memorizing scripture. And I hope that the world doesn't pull her away. When you hear a professional football player or baseball player and they win the championship and everybody's, he's like, I want to give all the glory to my Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay. There is the platform that God allowed you to use the talents you had so he can turn around and be glorified through it. But Satan's got another plan for some of them because they all want to talk about how great they were. Like, Lord, I wanted to be the greatest football player ever. I'm going to skip ahead here because we're going to kill that horse. The last, but most definitely not the least, it sets a good example to our children. You know, if your children don't see Christ in you, they mimic us. They do what we taught them to do. And if I'm not going to church on Sunday morning, or I'm not getting involved in church ministry, or I'm not doing something to help my neighbor out, what am I teaching my children? What am I teaching my grandchildren? Do you realize that the children are the future of our families? They're the future of our communities. They will become the community leaders. And you know right now in the world what they're doing with our young people. This wokeism going on out there and the craziness. And why is that? Because Christians have sat back and I don't want to get, you know, labeled. I don't want to rock the boat. Oh, they're just kids. They'll outgrow it. No, they won't. Bible clearly states if you bring a child up in the ways of the Lord, when they get older, they won't depart. But if they do, they'll return to it. Do you know what else? Those young people, they're the future of this church. I've been in a lot of churches that are dying. I'm grateful that this church is going, but this church can be a beacon of light into this community, and it can set an example for the young people. What you're doing with the backpacks and the school supplies, God bless you. I shouldn't have to rely on the government for that. I should be able to get, search your hearts. How do you serve? Tell me how you serve, okay? You could just help your neighbor out. Okay, they're working on the fence. You can see they're out there sweating. I'm going to take the time. You know, instead of sitting in here and watching my sports, I'm going to go in there and out there and help him or her work on that fence. You can volunteer at a homeless shelter. You know, I know down where I live at in Rixieville, Culpeper County, they have a homeless shelter. One of the churches is using their facility as a homeless shelter. And, you know, and church is supposed to rotate and man that, because it takes people to do it. And we already pay enough taxes, so you know they're not getting any tax money. We're a church, right? So what does it take? What can you do through your worship for God is give of your time. It's probably one of the most valuable things you have, better than your wallet. You can be a leader in church ministry, men's ministry, women's ministry, Awana, TNT. There's a church version. Did you know there's a church version of Boy Scouts? It's called Trail Life. There's a church version of Girl Scouts. It's called American Heritage Girls. When the world got all crazy, now all of a sudden you can join either one of them. They're all confused about what gender they are. We stand on God's word. He made them male and female. And Trail Life is for boys learning manly things and godly things as a man. And American Heritage Girls is for girls. We're equal but separate. Separate jobs, separate duties. Got a problem with it? Take it up with God. You can sing, praise, and worship. Did God give you talent?
Yes, he did.
Use it for his glory. And that's what you're doing, okay? Like I said, I'm looking at all this in here, man. Whoever God blessed with the ability to do this carpentry, look at this beautiful church, the beautiful woodwork. Someone did it for his glory. If you are a gardener, or you do well with art, okay? Think about it. I'm going to grow a vegetable garden, and I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to share my vegetables with my neighbors. I'm going to bring them to church and give them to some of the people in the church because maybe they need some. Instead of, I got to harvest this up and can it and pickle it so I have stuff for the future. Go ahead, store some stuff. That's biblical. But give the rest to thy neighbor. Jesus said, whatever you did for the least of these, you've done for me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When did I do that? I did it when I did it for the least of these. That's what it means to be Christ-like. Do you want to imitate the rest of the world? Or do you want to imitate Jesus Christ, who you claim is your Lord and Savior, who paid the ultimate sacrifice for your sin, my sin, our sin? As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. You're looking at a man that did not live his life, his younger years, this way. I've shared my testimony numerous times, so those who don't know it, get with somebody who's heard it before, because I don't want to bore you with it. You know, the other way you serve, it's very simple. Share the gospel. What greater gift can you give to another human being than the gospel of Jesus Christ? Did you know that your testimony may be the only gospel that people see? Tell them what God has done for you. I used to be this, and this is what I got. Now I'm following Christ, and this is what I have. Those things don't matter to me anymore, and now I'm at peace. Oh, my God, would we love to have peace, wouldn't we? Peace of mind in the eye of the storm. I ought to write a song about that. So next question, where should I do my service? Any suggestions? Everywhere. Everywhere. In your church, in your schools, in your place of business, in your neighborhoods, in your family. Everywhere. But first of all, if you're trying to be an example of Christ, you first need to know him and who he was. Why do you have to come? Why do I need him? See, the gospel says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's me. I got to confess that I'm a sinner. Romans 6:23 says, there's a price to pay for that sin. It says the wages of sin is death. Revelations 20:14-15 says death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And all those not written in the book of life are cast in the lake of fire. I don't know about you. Like I said earlier, sure is hot out there. Nothing like the lake of fire. But see, there's good news on Romans 6:23, the second half, which I didn't share with you. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. The next thing I have to recognize is that God loves me and wants to reconcile me to him. Romans 5:8 says, for God demonstrated his love for us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We all know John 3:16, right? Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe upon him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Man, when I realize just how much God loved me. Whew. I broke down in tears. And I'm a man, I'm not supposed to cry, right? I blubbered like a baby. It says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So I have to, first of all, admit that I'm a sinner, admit I can't save myself, believe and confess, and then believe that Jesus is the Messiah, all right? Then I confess in the mouth that he was raised from the dead. He conquered death. It says, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord might be saved. Shout. What?
Shout.
Shout it. Shall be saved. It's a definite answer. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Amen. I don't know out here who's saved. It would do your church, the church, God's church, a great injustice if I assume that everybody sitting here has sat down there and humbled themselves before God and asked God to save them through the blood of Jesus Christ and accept him as key word here. I got that get out of jail free card when I accepted the sacrifice he made on Calvary for me. But it took me a while before I did the most important thing and made him Lord of my life. And the way you'll know he's Lord of my life, the way people will know that he's Lord of your life, is because when they see you, they'll see you serving him through your service. Now, I don't want to leave here today without giving people an opportunity. And I believe in the power of prayer. Kent, would you do me a favor? Come on up here. You're the next contestant. Would you lead everybody in the sinner's prayer? Even though asking bow their heads, close their eyes, lead the sinner's prayer. At the same time, if God's placed anything on your heart, when it comes down to service, it's that. Quietly pray to yourselves that God can help you become a better servant, more servant, serving him, glorifying him through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Father God, we know we're sinners. For all have sinned and fall short of your glory. Please confess our sins to you and help us to turn to you, Father God, and give our lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, I didn't make 2 hours. Actually, I think I'm 10 minutes short, aren't I?
Yeah, go. Keep on going.
Okay, well, more room for fried chicken, right? They call that Baptist bird, right? Well, once again, thank you so much, everybody. I love coming here. I love preparing for coming here, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. Love having you.